All right. Shifting gears from tech guy to host. Do you go by, did anyone ever call you Leloid?
They've tried.
If we weren't so far away and your foot wasn't broken.
No, not really, but they never get it right. They always leave one out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Most High Show. I'm your host, Christian. We got Zach on the ones and twos. Leslie's doing quality control. We got an in-studio audience. We got Chris here. And we got Chaplain Lloyd Johnston here.
Johnston, yes.
And I'm looking forward to this show. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just let them know that we're all here and we're all live? Let's give a round of applause for the Most High Show tonight. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's what 700 people sound like. Clap.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
So let me give you a little intro. So Lloyd left his successful manufacturing business when he heard God calling him back into full-time ministry.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that. 20 years ago, he managed a teen challenge reentry home in Nebraska.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. Lloyd handles daily operations, the ministry, jail, prison, men's program, and is very hands-on with mentoring, connecting them with resources, and managing relationships with the men at every stage of the process, incarceration, recovery, and reentry. And he's the executive director of the Isaiah Project.
Yes.
And we also have Chris here, who's you're repping Vision Warriors to some extent.
Yeah, repping Vision Warriors.
Yeah. And you know this man?
Yes, he's my mentor. He's actually, I ended up here at Vision Warriors because of a letter I wrote, well, because of God first, and a letter I wrote to Chaplain Lloyd, I think. Was that before it was the Isaiah Project, or was it Isaiah?
No, we were up and running.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, and you got a powerful testimony in what's going on in your life. So,
yeah, it does.
Let's first start with this: leaving a successful manufacturing business when you heard God calling you back.
Yeah,
you know, everybody wants to hear the call of the Lord.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
But then the Lord says, "Leave the six figures and go do ministry." I don't know if that's the case, but.
Close.
Yeah. What's that process like? And because we say that, right? The Lord and called me into this.
Yeah.
What's tell us what that's really like when the Lord calls you into something and you might or might not really want to do it.
Right. So I got to jump back just a little bit. So when I came to Georgia in 2002, I was here to do something up in Ellijay. And I spent some time up there and tried to plant that. I was probably a four-year-old Christian, so I was a baby. And it wasn't well-received. And basically, I got a no thank you, but thank you anyway. And I didn't handle that well, so I said, God, get somebody else. And he did. And so and the place I was staying was set aside for ministry people, missionaries and whatnot. And the gentleman basically echoed what the community told me and said, you should just put this pipe dream away, go get a job and take care of your family. And that was the straw that broke this camel's back. And so I basically did that and went into ministry. I mean, went into business in about 2005, probably, and did very well. We built furniture for merchants, and it was a good business, and I kind of just kept the Lord at arm's length.
Now, were you still going to church or active in?
I was still going to church.
That relationship was still there.
It was still there, but it was cold. Mm. And I was basically said, I'm done. You can find somebody else. Those were my exact words. Mm. And so I spent probably 10 years just taking care of my family and just going through the motions. You know, nothing was, I wasn't all in.
Right.
And so, believe it or not, the Lord, you know, he always comes back to find you. Around 2015, he used the election to get my attention, because I was very political and I was very savvy. I was always paying attention to news, events, and politics and whatnot. And so I was paying close attention to what was going on in that election, and something caught my eye, my heart, and I couldn't shake it. And it was the human trafficking that really bothered me. And the more research I did on it, the more it tore me up. And I would just pray for children daily. And so he used that to bring me back to him. And then pretty soon, the relationship was back and it was on fire.
Yes, so that lit a spark back in you.
Yeah.
Gave you a passion and a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, is his voice loud enough on the mic? Leslie? Is his voice loud enough on the mic? She got headphones in, she can't hear nothing. Is his voice loud enough?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So I'd like to check that. Otherwise, I'll spend 2 hours fixing it.
That's cool.
On Monday morning.
That's right. Cool. So.
All right. So, so this was a continuation.
It was a continuation of where we left off when I said no to the assignment that I was given when I first came to Georgia.
But now what you're doing now is very different than working directly with human trafficking.
Right. That has nothing to do with what I'm doing now. But what that did is it began a relationship with the Lord and I where there was a lot of praying and fasting and crying out. And it didn't stop there. It was basically then he started to go through my closet and clean things out in every area. And so
that was fun, huh?
Yeah, it was no fun. But it was necessary and it was okay. You know, I think that probably took 3-4 years. 3-4 years where it was, this has got to go.
Yeah,
you have to mend this relationship. You need to work on that and this, that, and the other thing, the refining. And probably about 2018 I came to the place where, okay, God, whatever you want, whatever you say, I'm here, I work, I own a business, but it's yours now. So if you want me to keep this business, I'm glad to do it, and I'll do it for another 20 years. But if you want it, you can have it. I only have one request. Take care of my guys. Because it was small. I had about 10, 12 guys, and they were my family.
Yeah.
And so they had to be taken care of if he was going to take the business, and he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
wow.
As he did that, I kind of knew that, uh-oh, we're transitioning here, because I had no less than 4 guys who were with me for a long time and weren't looking for jobs get calls and get offers for double the pay that I was paying them, no less than 4. And when they finally took the most important piece, which was with my head furniture guy, which happened to be my brother as well, we knew the writing was on the wall. This is over. We're moving into
full-time ministry. The chapter got closed. That
kind yes, of, he it was clean.
Right.
It was clean. There was no.
You were hoping for a payout, like a buyout.
I was.
That's what you were. Yeah. Lord, let's do this. Yeah. I'm going to need X amount.
And, yeah. Didn't happen. But that's okay.
Right.
He took care of the
people.
But
that's the reality of, like, because when we say this, God, the Lord called us, or God called us.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was a very natural process and progression.
Yeah.
And you're just following. It's like, well, you know, no, you know, worry about today, right?
Exactly.
Right. Tomorrow got enough problems of its own.
Exactly.
And as we worry about today, and you're just following those breadcrumbs along, you see the path and the door closing, and you go, oh, well, I guess we're going this way now.
Right.
Right.
You got it. Exactly.
So it was very natural.
It was very natural. Everybody knew what was going on. My wife saw it at the same time I did, and then we made preparations to shut down, because you can't just close.
Right.
You know, so we knew probably 5 or 6 months before the year's end and started transitioning to get ready to do this. And
now, you knew what you wanted to do at that point.
I was already doing it.
Okay, you were working
in
the jails and stuff?
I was probably doing 30 hours a week at the warehouse and 40 with the jail ministry. So I had been doing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I was happy to do it that way. And, but it had got to the point where it was a full-time job or, yeah. and some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you were, what they say, bivocational.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were doing two jobs. I know that feeling. So, Chris, want to bring you into the conversation. So, what was your experience? How did you get exposed to the ministry that he's talking about, that he jumped into and that he, you know, moved into? What was that process like for you?
That process was like for me, it was about ending up in jail for a violation of probation and sitting in Cherokee County Jail and knowing that, all right, so I might need some help. And I remember this specific place, Vision Warriors, as one of my buddies went here. And they did amazing things for him, guy that I never would thought would change. He was changing right in front of my eyes through a weekly meeting that me and him had out there doing a creative writing class together. And I remember watching this man transform before my eyes and remember that he was at this place called Vision Warriors. And so I went about trying to – I contacted – had my family contact Vision Warriors. And they're like, well, if you're really serious about wanting to come to – Vision Warriors are going to need you to write a letter to Chaplain Lloyd. And that's how I ended up. I ended up, okay. So Vision Warriors wouldn't talk to me at that point until I wrote Lloyd. Yeah. And then Lloyd. And
how does Lloyd respond? You're in jail at this time, right?
Yeah.
You send this letter out.
I send this letter
out. You don't know if it gets there or don't get there.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's just the divine hand of the Lord altogether as well. I send this letter out in blind faith. And I'm getting ready to go to court, and I go to court one day, and everybody that went down to court with me got seen. Everyone's going home, got seen. Everybody but me. And they're like, send me back to the pod. You're going to have to reschedule court date. Your lawyer's doing something else.
Okay.
So that very same day, when I get back to the pod, I get a visitation. My name's on the visitation screen, and Lloyd shows up. I think that, or that it was either that day or the very next morning.
Is
when
it
I
the
woke
lawyer
up.
Or the Lord? Which is, one do you want to visit
yeah,
today?
But so, and so Lloyd showed up and then began our relationship.
So he shows up, it's a visitation.
Yeah.
You say you've never met him.
Nope.
So here comes this. You're kind of majestic and mystic look. You know, he comes waltzing in with 2 feet that work. He's got an injured leg now, but. Yeah. What are you thinking when he comes and sits down? Like, what do you immediately get at ease? Are you, is there a sense there? What's going on when he sits down?
I just knew that someone, I felt loved, you know, I felt someone had actually reached out and taken the time to visit me. I was sitting there. My family wasn't even visiting me at that time. And I wrote a letter and here comes this guy shows up to visit me, and I felt loved, and I felt, but also I had this sense of urgency, like I need, and he kept directing me back to the Lord. At that point, he kept telling me, he's like, all right, well, you may, but he knows what's best. Mm. And so we'll pray about it, and he continued to show up and prayed with
you're
me.
You're like,
and,
pray about it, dude.
Yeah.
Can't you get me out of here?
And we talked, and yeah, that's.
Yeah. So when he's pointing you to the Lord, do you feel like, okay, I know what you're saying. That's real. That feels true. Or is there a part of you that's like, because you said you were wanting to get moving. Is there an inner struggle there for you at all? Or
I mean, there's always that inner struggle, flesh versus spirit, going on. Like, I need and I want versus what the Lord has in store. And so, like, I can look back at it now and look at it like that. So, yeah, there was a little bit of conflict. I wanted to push and still have control, but it wasn't until right after that that I submit and the Lord really took over. At this point in my story, I was still trying to be the stage, the actor, the director, the stage, right? I'm still trying to control everything, but and just use
everything will go well if the play will go along yeah. well if everyone just does their part.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of divine manipulation in there, you know.
Yeah. All right. So is that so? Let's transition a little bit about what that process for Isaiah Project. So that's part of Isaiah Project.
That is the bread and butter of yeah. Isaiah Project. It's basically one-on-one. Spirit-led mentorship. So basically, you're just looking at the Uber. The Lord lives in here, and he knows what he needs to hear,
yeah.
and he knows how to steer and direct. And so really, literally, I pray when I'm in the truck and that before I go in, and as we're talking, and if he's going to left field, I would say, God, what do you want to say to Chris? What does he need to hear right now? And that can be, that's everybody. That's the way we do it. And we just let the Lord kind of lead the conversation. Sometimes you'll get up and go, I don't think that is worth anything. And you'll come back a week later and God knew what to say.
Yeah.
He knew what to say in the moment. Mm-hmm. He knows that person. He loves that person far more than I ever could. But I can feel it. I can feel what he feels. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of let him lead it. Sometimes it's a Bible study. Sometimes it's a conversation. Sometimes it's a tongue. It's a woodshed.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're up here, and you're talking about Cherokee County.
Yes.
Jail. So,
yeah.
You know, we're in the South. And so it's not hard to find a Christian out here, or quote unquote.
Right.
You know, do you find, are there people who aren't professed Christians or have an issue with Save the Church that still want your guys' help?
Yes.
And what do you do in that case when you go in and you're sitting down and you don't have, because when, you know, like I know, like when working with men and we have a common framework, right?
Yeah.
A common language and understanding, it's great. It's like I feel the flow. But when sometimes when that common, I have to find other things.
Right.
What's that process for you when you're sitting across the table from someone who's
so
like.
It's kind of unique. That's not even really a part of it. And I'll tell you why. I was given one instruction on how to approach this, and it was, ask them to write a letter. That's why you had to write a letter. And to have them tell you their story and leave their charges out. We don't want to know about their charges. We're not going to talk about their charges. That is not my business. And so when I approach anyone, we're on level ground. I don't know anything about them. God knows everything about them. And that can lead to some really good places. You can be an avowed atheist. If you wrote that letter, God told me I have to come see you or one of my team.
Yeah.
And so we just let the conversation go where it goes. I just had a conversation this week with a gentleman who is very convinced that his higher power, God, the creator of the universe, is who, but he has a real hard time with the Son and the fact that he came back to life. He can't get past that.
Yeah.
And so what do you do with that? Well, you say, God, what do you want to say to Max? And God gives you a thing. So as we were closing our little meeting that day, I said, I gotta ask you one favor. This God of yours, this one that you're talking about, would you do me a favor? I'm going to challenge you this week. I'll come back and see you next week. This week, ask him if he has a son. And then I leave that up to him.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
he's going to do far more than I could do.
Yeah, ever. Right. Because you're not sitting there trying, and then and men in this situation, appealing to their intellectual mind or having some sort of theological debate.
Right.
I mean, that's not really what you're sitting there for. I mean, these at this state, I mean, Chris, you could probably test this. I mean, you're broken. You're hurting. You're you need hope is what you need in that time. You don't need, like, the right information. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what Lloyd, well, the Holy Spirit through Lloyd did. Like, he would show up, and just knowing that I was having that visit each week, knowing there was hope and just knowing someone cared enough for me at that particular moment to take time out of their day.
Yeah.
To come and visit me.
Yeah. So you have a team. Did you start this as a ministry or?
It started, I knew, I got tapped. I got finished a quiet time one morning and I, you know, it wasn't audible. It was just in my spirit. I want you to go back into the jail. And I'm thinking, back into the jail?
Now back into the jail, because you'd been to jail or you had done this before?
I'd been to jail briefly. But if you rewind 20 years, when I was in the managing that rehabilitation center in Omaha, I actually had a stint where I got to go into a men's jail, the Omaha City Jail, 8 times by the invite of the chaplain. And it was very, very awesome. It looked the same. Mm. I didn't have an agenda. I didn't have a book. We got in there and we just prayed like you did, and God showed up.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, and I had blocked that. I had not remembered that until that morning.
Whoa.
You know, but even so, even that, it wasn't clear to me, Cherokee County Jail. It was, okay, jails, prisons. So, you know.
Yeah.
You start looking for any and every opportunity. Where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be?
Right. Now, did you have to get a chaplain certification?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in my mind, I didn't, but he told me to. You say, Lloyd, what do you mean he told you to?
Right.
Well, he used a friend of mine who sent me an email, who was a chaplain with the same organization I am. And he said, you should consider this. And my mindset was, I got him, so I don't need that piece of paper. Delete. And about 6 months later, I'm spending time with the Lord at 5 a.m. and I'm pacing my house and I'm like, Lord, why? What is taking so long? Basically, I'm saying, Lord, I'm waiting on you. And I hear back, no, I'm waiting on you. I'm like, what? What? What do you mean you're waiting on me? Chaplaincy. Oh, that was for me. That was from you. And so, needless to say, reach back out. Give me that again. And went and did that quickly.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I feel like that's my conversations all the time with the Lord. It's like, you know, it's very kind, very gentle.
Yeah.
But very true. Right.
Yeah. But very true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so you go to start this process. So Isaiah Project was already in, established at that point?
No, it really wasn't. I was still waiting to even get the assignment on where to go.
Yeah.
And at this time, COVID, not too many churches were open and they had just began to open back up, actually pre-COVID. And so I had disconnected from the one I was going to, and part of the road was reconnect, and here's where. And again, that's another, my daughter. He used my daughter. She was incessantly trying to get me to come to the church that she had plugged into. And I kept saying, honey, honey, honey. And I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe that isn't you. Maybe that's him.
Uh-huh.
And so when I did go and plug in, it was in that body that I actually found out where I was going to do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I was in a Bible study on a Wednesday night and the pastor said something, and you know how you just get an answer and you know you've been asking for it, but he has no idea.
Yeah.
As soon as he said what he said, I said, oh, the Cherokee County Jail. That's 8 minutes from my driveway. Wow. That's where I'm supposed to go. My backyard, my community, where I live, where you planted me.
Yeah.
And so, and then I went to the pastor and I said, look, this is what I think God's telling me to do. This is why I think that. Would you pray about it? And he basically said, well, I'm 99% sure I don't have to, but I will. Because we don't have one and it is important to me. And so that would be a great thing. And at this time, I'm still transitioning in the chaplaincy training. He's like, finish that and then come back and see me. I'll have an answer for you. And that all gets done and the phone rings in the church office. My husband is in jail. Could somebody go see him? And so that was the first visit. It organic.
Yeah.
And it's just taken off from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a couple of things I really want to like point out about that story is it's like saying yes to opportunities and to things that you think are, just not important.
Yeah.
Like, come visit this church, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that sense of obedience. It's kind of like, okay, it's not really what I'm thinking, but I can see this. I had a friend years ago tell me, you know, there's a natural flow to God, is what he told me.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it's true, but I know it's true for me.
Right.
That, and so the good is that there's a natural flow. The bad is that, you know, there's no bushes burning and seeds splitting for me. You know, I need a bird to speak to me.
Yeah.
You know? But it's those couple things, right? Because I think a lot of, especially like thinking about our audience and people in early recovery, you know, we want these shiny moments, these obvious, you know, coming from a life of using, where we want these excitements and this power and all this kind of stuff, and then we will transmute that into our relationship with God. And then if we're not getting that, and it sounds like what you're saying is, like, you know, the Lord is all saying, hey, you just show up to this thing here.
Right.
Or answer this email.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I told myself a while ago, is like, I'm not in the business of turning down opportunities.
Yeah.
Because I never know what saying yes to one thing will lead to. And that's happened over and over in my life.
Exactly.
Things that are uncomfortable, kind of weird.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Yeah. It's not completely logical, you know? And then I find, you know, I can look back and go, man, if I hadn't said yes here, this small trip or this showing up, then all of this wouldn't have happened. Right.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. You're reading my email.
And I think the other part is we got to slow down.
Yeah.
Right. And that in that quiet time, your daily, you know, you still got stuff to do during the day. You're probably, you don't seem like a guy who just lays around and watches Netflix. So you're a busy guy. But you're taking that time to slow down in the morning.
Yeah.
It's more of like a letting go of yourself.
Right.
To clear that up. Right.
Right. Right.
And sometimes I think we're moving so fast. You know, there's neon lights all the time and messages, and the Lord's. You know, somebody told me God doesn't have a communication problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's got no problem communicating.
Right.
So if I'm not here, it's because I'm not hearing it, or I'm not open to it, or personally I'm moving too fast.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would piggyback on that. So, and to put this in the recovery world, there was a time where maybe you saw things happening and you felt like, you know, we got a pretty good relationship here, you know, but then it goes on autopilot, you know, read this, read that, here's my routine and whatnot. And the Lord would shake me up. Mm-hmm. And so he would want more time than I was giving. and so I remember just having the discussion internally on why would I need to get up an hour earlier? And the question that I felt he asked me is, well, what did you do when you chased a drug? Mm-hmm. And what did you do when you chased a skirt? Mm-hmm. Am I not worth that?
Right.
Are you not going to be that committed to your relationship with me? At least.
Yeah. You wait for the dope man for 4 hours. You can't sit with me for 20 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a convicting conversation.
Yeah,
it was. The other thing I think that I'd like to illuminate is there's a line in some of the recovery literature, which is, you know, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. Mm-hmm. He's talking about this guy who has a relapse, right? Mm-hmm. And I've recently had some people around me that relapse. And as soon as that happened, that thing is just keep running in my head. He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. That there is an authentic connection between you and who you know as God.
Yeah.
And there is a back and a forth, and there's a humbling of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's almost like, you know, in order for us to grow, we have to get to that kind of state, you know? Yeah. And I'm not constantly in that state. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, shake me up. I bang my head against the wall too many times and I go, okay, fine. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm rarely just like jumping out the gate, just following them. Yeah. Right. Like, I gotta be, sometimes it's kicking and screaming, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I'm a wild child of God, but I'm still a child of God.
Amen.
Right?
All right.
So there's other things that you're visiting and you're doing this thing, but there's like a list of stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Of services.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just going to read a couple of them.
Okay.
All right. So the mentorship while incarcerated, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? The Pen Pal program.
Yeah.
Providing books, Bibles, devotional. Resume building course with free laptop.
Yeah.
Virtual job interview and career certification programs.
Yeah.
Provide proper interview attire.
Yeah.
In jail and job resource fairs and post-release opportunities. Connect with second chance employers.
Yes.
And document recovery assistance, which, you know, everybody in this room knows what that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're out in the streets, you might lose your ID and mm-hmm. you got no idea where your birth certificate
right.
is.
Right, right.
And you're going to need that to get a new
yes.
ID.
Yeah.
Did this comment come over time, all these things that you realized we needed to
Everything
add?
On that list came organically, one situation at a time. And they don't expressly just come from Isaiah Project. Actually, the bigger picture here is the Lord kind of showed me when he said, go to the jails, get my body in the county of Cherokee when I knew what the garden was.
Yeah.
And find who's doing what and connect your men and women with them. If they're already doing it, you don't need to do it. No redundancy. Connect them with a Must Ministries. Connect them with a church that does document recovery. Connect them with a organization that will train them and teach them and certify them. So along the path the last 3 years, we've also been identifying who does what yeah. in this county. And it is wonderful. It's bountiful.
Yeah.
God has it covered. And
yeah.
so this isn't a denominational thing in any way. It's the body of Jesus Christ, Cherokee County. Mm. And I don't care if you're a Catholic, a Lutheran, a Methodist, or a Baptist-costal. You have a place, you have a part, you're part of his body, and he's given you an assignment. And if your assignment can help my assignment, then that's what I want to do. I yeah. want to connect you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Have you had challenges with that, getting people to partner up and not?
No, because that's kind of been organic, too. You just kind of show up where you're supposed to be, and you meet the right people. Yeah. God just sets it up.
Yeah.
You know, so I really haven't.
Yeah.
yeah.
Chris, were there anything in that list that you took advantage of other than that mentoring or?
Not as of yet. But that's not saying that I won't.
Yeah.
Because I get, you know, there's a possible job. I was looking for another opportunity for jobs, and I was looking for the next step. So, and I always look around in the community for that. And Lloyd being my still, not just in jail, but still my mentor today, is.
Yeah. He's actually on my team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Are you visiting jail?
Yeah, I actually got two mentees right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's that like to go in and then they let you out?
And then it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a dream or a vision come true, if you will. Lord gave me a vision of that back in 2015, and I just never really thought it would manifest. And really the funny thing was, when it was a vision given to me, I was also prophesied over and it was Isaiah 61 prophecy that someone prophesied over my life. And then I met Lloyd and all this fell into place. I'm just like, I'm having my own wow moments with God. Like, yeah. really? Really?
Yeah. Like, so his connection with us was Vision Warriors.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of major miraculous economy of God things coming his way because God's reunited him with his child.
Yeah. Mm.
And everything that he's needed for that, God has provided in crazy, miraculous ways.
Yeah.
Some of those things you were saying earlier, you do a mundane thing. Well, one of the aspects of what's happening with him is they're going to do a legacy apartment so that he can get his son back and live together with him on these premises.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has faithfully provided a lot of the stuff there.
Yeah.
One of the guys God used was in my Wednesday night Bible study, and I'm telling you what, I was run ragged, and I did not want to go, and I was taking that night off, and the Lord said, no, you're not. And so when we had talked, and we had just talked about what his need was, and I knew this fella did something with furniture, and he happened to need furniture for the apartment. And so I don't want to go. Lord, why do I got to go tonight? You know, I'm tired. I need the rest. And I go, and in walks the fellow that I need to talk. And I'd never seen him there before on a Wednesday night. And I tell him a little bit about Chris, just a snippet. And he's like, listen, I need you to bring Chris tomorrow at 9 o'clock to my warehouse, and I want you to tell him this. He is to imagine that he is a kid with the Sears Christmas catalog. This is not one piece. I want to help him.
So Sears is an old.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we got nobody's a lot of people means. Don't know what Sears is.
Yeah.
And then the catalog. I mean, you know, you used to be able to order a house from the Sears catalog.
Yes.
All right. So from the Sears. So he's an old head.
Yeah.
So he's
like
just a kid in the candy store just picking out.
Yeah.
Circling things. Yeah. Wish list.
Yeah. And you did that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's crazy. It is insane what he walked out of there, how God blessed him through this man. So
but the most beautiful thing about it is not just that it's, you said legacy, and that's what it is. I get to be, I'm blessed with being able to use it first, to be able to receive, but this isn't something that is just mine. All this stuff is going towards Vision Warriors, and it's going towards the next man. So once I leave, the next man with a child that needs reunification or is having these issues can move in and...
Yeah.
Like, as long as they're doing what they need to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's it's limitless, and I see this as just a beginning.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really common. We had two women on last week, and part of the conversation was talking about, you know, having kids and active addiction and losing your kids, and then not being able to be in the place to get your kids back for a long time, and some men have, you know, when they decide to get clean, but their partner it doesn't.
Right.
You know, and or is no longer around or is no longer available to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen it a lot, especially here, you know, where men start to feel a sense of honor and duty and a sense of like, I need to be a man here. I need to be a father.
Yeah.
I haven't been, and this isn't about me, and I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
And it's hard. That's a hard process, because to jump from, so having a bridge between, you know, because I always tell the guys here, I'm like, once you got a light bill and a water bill and a trash bill and an internet bill, and they all come from four different people, and you got to make sure that you got the money on the 5th, the 15th, and the 22nd.
Right.
It gets real complicated.
It does.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Right now, you just got to come up with so much at when you can, and it's good. So to be able to slowly transition, and then to add become a father, right, and have a child that you're... That's like, come on, that's a big shift, right?
It is, yes.
And I've seen a lot of men try to make that jump and that shift back to that from kind of like from transitional living into alone in an apartment or in a home trying to raise a child, and it's tough.
Yeah.
And they can't manage it, right?
Yep.
Well, I think it's important what that thing is, and it's beautiful to see how God is kind of putting the...
Yeah.
Obviously, the Lord's like, I know it's important too, dude. I've been working on this.
Well, the funny thing is, and I got both of these things from Lloyd, I'm not sure, but he's, Christian's the one who made the connection with the Williams House.
Yeah.
Who's a big donor in this as well.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting with two of the guys who have actually been big participants in connecting dots by y'all's simple yeses.
Yeah.
So,
this is. And that was a hard yes for me. That was a real hard yes for me. But I think about that all the time. Like, what if I just sat at home that night? What if I just took the night off? What did God want to do that I cut off because I was tired?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and that goes back to what you were saying.
Oh, absolutely. Ago. Every time my phone rings, I'm like...
Another opportunity?
I love you guys. If you call me... That's what's happening before I pick up the phone. Just know it. And I answer it. And it's obedience, right?
Yeah.
And that's small. That's tiny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and showing up when you're tired, it's tiny.
It's tiny,
But it's still like a sense of you letting go of control over your own life. Your own step three, right? Like, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Our will and our life, our thoughts and our actions, right?
Yeah.
And really handing that over.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, I think that in time, over time, I feel like I know less, but I feel like I know more true things, you know, and the true thing I know is that what it's better than anyone's ever told me.
Right.
The God thing.
Amen.
Yes. The Jesus thing.
Yes.
I know that. And I know that, you know, there is no better. If you're picking a framework, right, a religion to go jump into, I mean, why not pick the one that's got a best buddy and a best friend and someone who knows what it's like to be.
Right.
Right. And someone who gives us the example and is there and not scared of our sin.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And much after that, I'm kind of like, okay, but I'm not, I don't know, no, right? But those two things I really know,
right
about it, because I've experienced it over and over and over again. All right, so what are we missing in the conversation? Besides where I go get my chaplaincy certification.
Well.
I mean, you're visiting now and you're doing this, you're showing up, right? And you have his mentorship, so he's giving you a pretty simple, clear instruction, which is get out of the way and let the Lord do his thing. And you, I've watched you over time, you know, and I do see a devout, like you're sincere in your desire to know and follow God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's been his grace has been the only thing, you know, that's ever given me the strength or made me want to change.
So the first time you go in, what was that like? Tell me about it.
Well, the first time
because you, the last time you were in there, you were in there.
I was in there, like so, and that's part of my testimony when I get to reach these guys. Like so, I got a testimony, you know, to give these guys that hey, look, it's not hopeless. It's where you're sitting at now, isn't the end because I was there literally 2 years, less than 2 years ago. I was sitting in those orange jumpsuits and sitting with that orange stripe behind me on the wall, and that's where I was, and this is where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And it's not me, it's only him. And that's what I just want to share.
You never told him exactly the kind of conversation you had with the Lord and what happened the next day.
So
come on.
Okay, so yeah, that's kind of a, it's one of those moments is May 24th of 2022. I'm sitting in Cherokee County Jail in Orange, I think 1 or 7, I don't know. It's my daughter's 13th birthday at the time, and once again I'm not there. And so I got court coming up the very next day, which is on the 25th. And there, my probation officer is wanting to revocate me all my remaining 5.5 years of probation. Want to send me back for my third DUI within my third violation, and they're done with me. And I have my son who's 18 at the time. He's graduating high school the day after that, so on the 26th. And I remember calling all day long trying to get in touch with my daughter just to wish her a happy birthday. You know, that's because that's what we do. We want to wish our children the best, that we want better for them. And so I just want to call and wish my girl happy birthday. And I couldn't get anybody on the phone, even though they had told me. Everyone had called. My mom called. I was told a couple days by my daughter's mom, a couple days before, to call on her birthday, and that I would talk to her. And no one would answer. And I remember that point in my life being just so little. I, you know, once again, I was just smallest as an ant, dude. That's how big I felt. And I went into the room, and I remember telling my roommates, not really asking, hey, y'all, I need the room, and asking them to leave. And I put a towel up on the door like I'm using a restroom. And I just hit my knees, man. For the first time in my life, I really just hit my knees and cried out to the Lord, 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 whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do tomorrow, I don't care. I just want you to receive the glory. I can't do this anymore. Never let me forget this pain. And he showed up. Next day, I went to court. They reinstated my probation. I was already on probation in another county that should have had a hold on me, but the Lord saw fit that there was no hold. And so, like, I got out, and I was able to make it to my son's graduation. I was able to make it to my daughter's, see my daughter, but the Lord showed up. He showed up.
Now, how do you get those blessings and not be like, okay, cool, thanks, God. I'm out. Now I got it. I got it from here.
Well,
finish the story.
Well, that's the thing. I did. I wish I could say I got out and didn't go back to drinking because I, you know, I'd already been in there almost 2 months, and so I'd gotten past the cravings and the withdrawals and everything, and so I decided I had to go. I was going to go have this one last hurrah because I was about to enter in a 12-month IOP, or I was about to enter into go to some place. I wasn't sure if I was coming to Vision Warriors yet or not. There was a hold up with probation. But so I'm going to go have in true addict form, in true flesh form. One more time. Hurrah. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to have fun with the girls. And like, that's where I went a week after I got out. And it was when I drank that night and then the cravings kicked back in. And the next day I went to go get that bottle again. And I remember just, and it was clear as this, and it's just like the Lord saying, is this what I delivered you for? And instantly the Lord read my mail and I was pegged right there with nowhere to go. Everyone had seen me. I was fully known, fully visible. There was nothing I could do, and I was just frozen in place. And I remember audibly saying, by myself in my bedroom at my parents' house in the basement, I remember saying, no. And just since then, I called and called Lloyd, called Braden, and I was like, listen, I need help. I need to go. I need in now. And so started that process, called probation. And was, listen, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And I'm going.
Yeah.
And I've been seeking the Lord every day ever since.
Yeah, you had to get busy living.
Yeah. Right?
And get busy with the solution.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I love about 12 Steps. It's not a don't program. It's a do program, right? Mm-hmm. And you were you weren't doing the, you know, you were doing the wrong thing or the thing that wasn't the healthiest for you. And you had to get busy in the process of growing and healing.
Yep.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that so authentically, you know. Because it's important to me that I work with a lot of people who are not Christians. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like that. That's how the Lord does me. Lord comes to me in people who are not Christians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Been like that for all my life. And and these sayings we have internally, and we know what we mean by it because we've experienced the depth of what that means to have a call, or did the Lord tell you something? Is this why I delivered you for? Mm-hmm. But to hear it really spoke out, and like, this is, you know, the whole thing's a miracle, but this is not like, it's pretty natural. It's pretty normal. Like this, once you begin to open yourself up, man, and I don't know what other religion gives you that connection.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have that in Christ. That.
Right? Yes. Right.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, bro.
So if somebody has a loved one who's incarcerated in Cherokee County, how do they get a hold of you guys to see about getting some resources to them?
So they can reach out to the Isaiah 611 Project. So it's actually Isaiah 61:1. That's the verse and the mission statement, all in one, project.org. And if they just let us know, hey, we've got somebody, a loved one, they're in jail, man or woman, English or Spanish, make us aware of them and who they are, and we'll go visit them. We'll do a initial visit and just say, this is who we are. This is what we do, and this is how we do it. And then we'll present, give them the opportunity to write that letter. Mm-hmm. And if they write that letter, they're going to see us every week until they leave this place. And we're going to do our best to make sure that they transition to either a rehab, or if they go down the road or to another facility, where they have the ability to reconnect with us once they get there, or back into the community.
Yeah.
That's all the most important thing for us is we attach you to your faith family. Right now, we're your faith family. Well, you're in the Cherokee County Jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to pass that baton on to a rehab, a church, you know, wherever God's putting you next. We're going to help facilitate that you get there, and we're going to walk with you the whole way.
Yeah. That's so good to hear. It's good to hear that there are people doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and because it's really hard. You know, a lot of felons who are, it's hard to rebuild a life with that, yeah. You know, depending on what the felony is.
Right.
You know, I have a lot of friends who just, the options are limited.
Yeah.
And the resources are limited, and it's hard.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
And to be connected first with you guys is, you guys seem like you're going to connect them with other communities. Because to me, that's the only thing I've seen that really holds us together is community.
Yeah.
Whatever, however wild it is, we need people around us to help us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to hear about that. Yeah. Man. So if you're struggling and, let's do this. Chris, if you got something to say to somebody, right? And they're out there. They were like you were, right? They're at that pivotal moment in their life, and they can't put the bottle down. What would you say to somebody? That's your camera right there.
Man, there's hope. And I don't know how else to tell you, but you just got to let it go. You got to let go. You just got to surrender. And I know saying it's easier said than done. But when you're done, you're done. And you got to trust that the Lord is going to see you through. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to always be fun. It's going to be hard. It's going to be uncomfortable. And it's going to be the best thing you've ever done. So just reach out. There's people out there that will guide you and help you through step by step. And never forget, our God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Most High Show. Thank you to Lloyd. Thank you to Chris. Thank you for Zach on the ones and twos. Leslie's doing quality control over by the fire. And thank you to all the donors and supporters who make this whole thing possible. And thank you to our in-studio audience. This is the Most High Show. Yeah. Woo!